The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hi, everybody. Welcome, my brother, and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middleest brother, Travis McElroy.
And I'm the baby, Griffin McElroy.
You have reached us here at Prank HQ.
Uh-oh.
Tomorrow is April Fool's Day, as you know, assuming you're listening to this on Monday, and we are prepping for the biggest prank of the year. Before we came in to start recording, when we were out in the lobby, before we came into the studio, Griffin told me he had the biggest idea for a prank to pull on anybody ever in the history of prankdom. He said it was going to make the mayors of Prankton, is what he said. And I said, wait, hold that thought. Don't tell me the prank plan now. We're in the lobby. Wait till we're in front of the MICs.
Sure.
So, Griffin, now that we have retired to the recording studio, we are in front of the mics. The show's started.
Mm-hmm.
We're laying on our chaise lounges.
Lay it out for me, Griffin. Prank of the century
that I came, just to let everyone know, to reiterate that I definitely came up with ahead of time. And then I informed Justin to set up this intro so that I would just come out and say what the prank was that I invented ahead of time before we started recording.
I feel like I've contextualized. Okay. Stalled.
You may be listening to this thinking, is this one of those things where Justin's just saying this? And that didn't really happen, and it's just a fun way to see how Griffin reacts in a situation where, he is the lobster, he's just been thrown into the boiling water. Can he escape from the trap, or is this not a trap at all? Did he mean to get his goose cooked? Mixing my animal cooking metaphors, but...
That's quite all right. Griffin, I'm ready for the prank of all time.
I mean, I guess there's a lot of stuff that you need to understand before I can reveal the prank. My prank draws on a lot of different influences. Are you familiar with the Jerky Boys?
I am. I love their work.
Not those Jerky Boys. I'm talking about the hoodlums who hang outside of my local Sitgo, and they shoplift and eat beef jerky and just the stoop.
Oh, Steve and Tom.
Steve and Tom.
The jerky, but the ones whose mouths always smelled like smoky teriyaki. I think it's supposed to be teriyaki, but for some reason when it's smoky, they call it smoky teriyaki.
Teriyaki, Beck. So that's important.
Uh-huh. So you need to know the Jerky Boys. Got it.
How much Franz Kafka have you read?
I mean, just like anybody else, I understand when people reference Metamorphosis, but I have not actually read any of his work.
Yeah, no, he did write a book about a bug. I say this because my prank involves a giant bug that used to be a man.
Uh-huh.
So that's going to be tricky. I'm not going to lie to you. There's a lot of, I would say, impossible setup for this prank is going to render it literally impossible to achieve. But if we can do it.
Okay, now I have a question. What about Damon? Are we going to get Matt Damon on board? Is Damon,
What about
this?
Damon Wayman?
Damon Wayman. Hi, everybody.
He's a smoky teriyaki.
What about Damon Wayman's smoky teriyaki king of the Midwest?
There are three Wayans involved. Three Wayans involved. Can you guess which ones? You can't. Because one of them is Hank Wayans. Not
Hank
a lot of
Wayans
people know about
the
him.
The third or Hank Wayans Jr.?
Hank Wayans. He is not a famous actor, but boy, can he fucking pull a prank with the best of them.
Who's the prank on? Who are we pranking with this prank you've
Well, this is the thing. It's sort of a... it's sort of like a choose your own adventure. Like it's just an empty slate that you can fill with, whoever you want to use it on. Mm. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm going to prank the president. And I mean, that would be a pretty good one. Don't know how I'm going to get the bug into the White House. But the bug that was a human that was transformed by magic.
Can you have the Jerky Boys pose as caterers?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe
That would be easy because that's their job.
Maybe and Wayman.
Fucking job is just hanging out outside the gas station? You think that's how they make their living?
No, they're White House caterers.
They're White House caterers.
Okay, so they're going to sneak Mamon Wayman's into the White House in some sort of like rolling cart because he's small and also an acrobat.
He's very, very, very little.
And then they rob the casino. But at the same time, they show that the casino owner doesn't really love his wife so that Mamon Wayman's can get back with the wife.
Mm-hmm. That's going to happen. That's not really like the point of the prank. It's not really funny, but like the great thing about this prank is that it's going to change and improve the lives of everybody involved with it.
So not a joke per se. There's not a punch.
There is a but of the joke, and it's our American president in this specific example.
Okay.
But everybody else who's involved with it is going to get a little something on the side.
Well, Griffin, I am so excited about this prank. I can't wait to stunt it and pull it off. With the whole crew, the Jerky Boys, Mavin Wayman Damons, Smokey Terioki, the whole gang. I'm so glad they're all going to get together for one last big heist.
Yep, and I'm glad that I was able to sort of outline exactly what the prank was.
Yep.
Well, thank you for coming up with it ahead of time.
It is to just, we're going to steal all the toilets.
So Obama's going to be running around, hey, I thought I had a toilet in here.
Great, 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 great impression.
Hey, Joe, did you steal the toilets, Joe?
That Joe Biden?
No Biden?
No, I didn't. I left them wherever I used them.
Is he Charles Nelson Reilly?
He's Joe Biden.
Okay.
Are you sure he's not the lead singer of the B-52s?
Super pussy!
Okay. Nobody's gonna get super pussy. That's like the deepest inside joke basically ever.
That was a fake B-52 song that Griffin came up with. Like I don't think it's that hard to explain.
6 years ago.
Like 150 years ago. Super pussy. Can you do it once, Griffin? Because I don't...
Super pussy!
Hey there, brothers. My boyfriend is in a band that's starting to get really big. I go to one of his shows every weekend pretty much. My issue, I'm assuming it's the B-52s, my issue is that I don't know how to act when I watch him on stage. I feel awkward being right up front staring at him, but I wanted to notice me in the crowd. I'm 5 feet tall, so I get lost in the crowd pretty easily. Do you have any ideas for how I can be a good, supportive band girlfriend and not come off as awkward or just standing there? And that's from Feeling Ox Sauce in Chicago.
I have a question for you guys about this.
Okay.
Is there a way to ask the boyfriend if he actually cares whether she's there or not without it sounding like she's asking him to release her from going?
That's what I'm saying. Like, when I played Templeton the Rat in our community theater production of Charlotte's Web, where which critics hailed that performance as revolutionary to pretending to be a rat. I wanted our meme to be there once, but I would feel guilty if she had to like sit through the same shit. And it was not good. Outside of my revolutionary rat performance, it was not a great show. I don't want her. I start to feel guilty if Momo is out in the audience all 14 showings.
Mm-hmm.
But then the problem being that as soon as the person says, hey, do you really care if I'm there or not? I'm afraid it's going to sound like is, hey, I don't want to come see your show.
You can only enjoy their ironic cover of Tiny Dancer so many times before it starts to grow a little stale and perhaps the effect is lost on you.
Are you putting this person on blast because they're not very tall?
No. That was not intentional. That would be the work of a much swifter man than myself.
Ooh, I have a great idea.
Uh-huh.
Convince your boyfriend and their band to start selling some merch, and then you work the table, so you're there as a supportive girlfriend. You don't have to stand up at the front.
But then do you get, like, a cut? because then you're doing
your boyfriend does, but your boyfriend does.
Oh, like, okay. Oh, that's some dog shit then. Hey, babe. I'm going to be up on stage shredding. And then I'm going to be backstage shredding too, if you know what I mean. But hey, while I'm back there, babe, can you do me one favor? Babe, can you do me one favor? Just go do this unpaid job for me, and I'll get all the profits. Okay, well, then
I bet you could ask for a cut.
Yeah, I don't think you need to ask for a cut. I think between standing there staring at your boyfriend as he sings versus, like, doing an activity that you know what you're doing and is, like,
get some fucking devil sticks if you want to, like, occupy your time. Like, don't make this poor woman, like, start shoveling coal.
Hey, Griffin, why are you shitting on my awesome idea?
Travis had a great idea that this man or woman... I'm assuming woman only because 5 feet tall, but it could be a man. It could be a diminutive gentleman.
And because she says supportive girlfriend, but that's fine.
No, but Travis has a great idea. What? Okay, let me take Travis's idea and push it one step further. Why don't you do...
Join the band.
No, well, okay, so I was going to say sort of join the band, but you don't know how to play any instruments, so what do? You become the dancing guy in the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. Like that kind of vibe.
You become like the hype man?
You become like, what's that cat's name? Ben? Something like that? You become like, no, like the guy who's there dancing.
Like the guy who wears the nice suit and has an umbrella always during Outkast performances.
Uh-huh. Yes.
What was his name?
I used to know his name too.
Rufus Wainwright, I think it was.
What? I don't think that was who that was.
It was Rufus Wainwright.
I don't think that's who that was.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't that. Fonsworth Bentley.
I was so close.
You weren't at all. You got 0% of his name right.
There were some similar letters.
Okay, sure.
So be like the Fonz or like Ben, the guy from Mighty Mighty Bosstones, and just dance on stage.
Just get up on stage. Now, you don't have to dance good. In fact, it would be better if you didn't. If you know how to skank it, that particular dance craze. I don't know if your boyfriend is in a ska band, but that's always a popular maneuver.
Yeah. I think that getting involved in some more concrete way, whether it be dancing or merch sales, and nothing but those two things, I think that that's going to help you pass the time, make you feel a bit more purposeful, purpose-driven life.
But there's like 8 seasons of How I Met Your Mother on Netflix that this woman needs to watch.
Uh-huh.
But that's like why I love you sit at the merch table. You're not going to have to do anything till after the band plays. You could be on Netflix on your phone.
But you can't hear Hulu all Plus. The funny. You can't hear all the funny jokes from Marshall and Lily and the crew.
You put on headphones
over all the loud, loud ska music. Here's that's the going
great
on
thing
stage.
About working. Is that when you want to not be at the concert, you have a great excuse. It's a lot harder sell to say, I'm too tired to go listen to your band play than I'm too tired to go work the merch table. So if you solidify that's what you do with the shows, then it is a lot more excusable if you need to get out of it once in a while, because now you've turned it into a job.
It already sounds like a job, either way. Listen, I no comment on your guys' relationship or whatever, but like having to go to the same concert, like no matter how incredible it may be every single time, like every weekend though.
Hey babe, did you hear when I went na 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 no no?
Yeah, like I heard it. I heard it today, and I heard it on the 28th.
Yeah, but it's different.
And then
babe,
I heard it on the 21st.
Babe, it's different. I went na 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 no no instead of na 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 no no.
Yeah, no, that was really. It was really good, and it did take the song in like a totally different direction, but I am just going to kick it at home today because they just added the first Captain America movie to Netflix.
but tonight I was going to go near, 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 near.
And change the title of the song.
No, just my didgeridoo part.
This is a pretty crazy band. What is this? Is this that...
it's Rusted Root.
Oh.
They're back.
I heard that they're back in a big, big way, but I didn't.
They're back. This is the new Rusted Root, like the new Monkees. A bunch of people got together and decided to be Rusted Root again.
Yeah, no, it's sort of like Doctor Who. It's just a mantle that's passed from band to band.
Might as fucking well be.
That's why they say Send Me On My Way. It's like, You've had fun with this band name for a while, but it's time to let it go and let somebody else have a chance to be Rusted Root. Gautier actually used to be Rusted Root.
Wow.
And then they sent it on its way.
Griffin, may and we now have a Yahoo just, Answer question, please?
Yeah, sure. This Yahoo was sent in by David DeCruz. Thank you, David. It's by Yahoo Answers user. How can I include... Oh, no, I fucked up. Because they changed how this shit works.
Nobody saved, nobody on.
Thank you. Thank you, David. It's by Yahoo Answers user Ghostgate, who asks, how can I include my guinea pig more in my daily life? Please help. Okay, so I have a male G-pig, and I want to include him in my daily life. Okay, so from Monday to Friday, from like 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., I'm at school. I let him walk in my room. Whoa. I let him walk in my room, but I want to have him in all my daily stuff, such as when I go out, or just pretty much in everything that's possible. But I have a problem. It's a dumb problem, but it's affecting me. Problem is that I can't afford to wash every day. I'm kind of broke, and so I can't change cloth every time he loses hair on me. I know it's pretty stupid, but that's my situation. So do you recommend buying a G-Pig carrier, or what do I do? He doesn't have a buddy. Oh, my God, this question. He also doesn't have a buddy. I know they're supposed to be in pairs and all, but I know my story and can't really afford another G-Pig, so that's why I want him in my life more, and not just because of that, but also because I want, like, a closer friend. No, I'm not a loner, but more of a close pet because I enjoy pet interaction, so please, please help me out and give me ideas with my weird problem. Please, thank you.
Signed, Bill Gates.
Signed, Bill Gates, inventor of the computer.
Griffin, at this point, can you edit in the sound of me running down a long highway and jumping through a stained glass window? Because that's what I emotionally, that's where I'm at right now.
You didn't have to read it, man. That was like, I felt like I was doing a Psylock Fox there.
This gentleman can't afford to wash, but can't afford to feed a G-Pig. How are your priorities?
I think he can afford to wash his body. But I don't think he can afford to, like, go to the laundromat every day because his stupid fucking filthy pig rat got his stupid filthy hair all over his jeans and his shirts.
Maybe, like, invest in a lint roller. Maybe that would be a way that you could, or shower with your clothes on.
Or that's just like put the G-Pig in, like, a Ziploc bag before you put it in your pocket.
That's a great idea, Trav.
What's a G-Pig carrier?
I imagine it's a Ziploc bag.
Okay. It's just a lunchbox, pretty much, right?
What's the point at that point? If you can't, like... This is what I'm saying. How do you affix this G-Pig to yourself in a manner that still makes it feel like you have an animal attached to you?
You know, back in the day... Back in, like, French Revolution times, ladies would make their hair into, like, a cage and keep live birds in it. Until the bird died.
Maybe they do that. Yeah.
Maybe you make, like, a G-Pig cage out of your hair, and then the G-Pig rides on top of your head till it dies.
Why would they wait for the bird to die?
Because they didn't care about it as a pet. It was just as a decoration. Because
they didn't know how to get it out.
Well, that was also part.
Guys, we fucked up again. Man. Listen, you did a great job on my hair, but how did the bird out? Fuck, I did it again.
How didn't you notice there's a bird in my hair?
No, I put the bird in there, but when I was constructing the framing for your hair, I forgot the door part again.
You left a bird in my hair. You know what's going to happen. Somebody could take a picture of it. It's going to be in a history book. And people are going to think this is how we did it.
Man, those people were dicks to their birds. See?
That's what they're going to say.
That's what they're going to say.
I didn't want to burn my hair.
I hate this.
I hate this haircut.
Oh, God damn it. I love living in France, though.
I love France.
God damn, our bread's so good.
Hey, y'all, hope we don't get beheaded.
Oh, boy.
You know who I'm into? Napoleon.
I wish someone had invented a moon pie already.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, hooks.
Lay hooks.
Oh, man. I'm so sunburnt right now. I've got, like, sun delirium, and I'm hoping that it's going to, like,
Howie. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Iron Man style. Get this. Can you embed the guinea pig in your chest?
And running on a wheel somehow that powers you.
Oh, I love that. That would be like a fun like parody. You think? We could do like a fun parody, like those what are those fucking hilarious scary movies? Like those parodies, but it could be like superheroes, and that could be like how we do Iron Man.
The thing that bothers me most about this question is the idea that this person lists their G-Pig have free reign over their room.
Crazy, during crazy, the day. Crazy.
That's
crazy.
Crazy on many levels. One, what's it doing? Two, can you think of anything less appealing when you finish a long day at work knowing you have to go home and go on a G-Pig hunt? Is it in the laundry basket? Is it in the closet? Where is it? It's small. It's hiding.
Where didn't it poop?
I had a buddy in college who had a hedgehog, which is like awesome. Like across the board, that's awesome. But he let it just roam free in his house, in his whole house. And then, like, I would go over there. And every time I went over there to hang out, it would be, like, instant dread. Like, I'm going to step on this little thing, and it's going to hurt me and kill him.
I'm going to sit on the wrong pillow.
I'm going to sit on the wrong pillow, and this hedgehog's going to be fucking underneath it. And it's going to be a fun prank, but not fun, I guess, by any conceivable metric, because I will kill the animal.
I bought a moped in high school, not knowing the social consequences that came with it. Now that college is upon me, do I bring it to school or keep it at home and be forced to walk around campus like the rest of my scholars? P.S. Bought the moped secondhand, and the previous owner put a super loud exhaust on it to make it go fast. This subsequently makes me look like a huge tool. That's from Easily Confused in New Hampshire.
Efficiently, actually, which is weird.
Efficiently confused.
Like, messed that up. I am so glad that they... This is... Okay, this is textbook good question submission to my brother and me. Because if it had just been the first part, I would have been like, I don't get the big deal. I think mopeds are pretty great. If I had one here in Austin, I would use it to go everywhere. But the idea of having a super loud exhaust on it takes this thing and turns it right on its head because, like... The whole thing about a moped is that you're supposed to be very... It's like a very discreet means of transport. Right.
It's an ashamed means
of... You don't have to feel shameful about it, but it's not like something you want to be like, ah, moped, check me out. And if you put like a super banging exhaust on it, like that's exactly what you're...
Yeah. You know, you
put like 20-inch rims on your Razor scooter. Like, stop it.
You don't think about it. Sometimes when people own ostentatious things, you tend to make assumptions about them. You don't think about the fact that they might have just gotten stuck with it by happenstance. You know, it really makes you think. You know?
Right, like when I inherited...
This is water, you know?
When I inherited your Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra...
Right.
Like, I didn't have any choice in the matter. It was just the most balling car in Huntington, West Virginia at the time. And so, like, I would drive around, like... bumping those speaker rattling tunes mm-hmm. that had broken off inside the car's cassette player. And then people would be like, man, what a jerk that guy must be with all of his money. And I'd be like, sorry guys, it's not me, it's my brother. He's the one who tricked us out.
Sorry, player haters.
I know the hood ornament's gone. That's what my brother did. And like, I know it's a sick look, but it wasn't me.
When the option is walking, the alternative has to be better. So you just have to make peace with the fact that you're the guy with the loud electric bicycle.
Is that what a moped is?
It's basically an electronic bicycle.
I actually completely agree with Justin on this one.
Do you, Travis?
I do.
See, that's 2 out of 3. That's a majority.
So complete is your guy's hatred of ambulation. You would rather be like piggybacked?
My life, Griffin, my day-to-day life is trying to figure out how to make the least amount of trips to and from someplace. If it means loading up my arms in a painful manner just so I do not have to walk back to somewhere to get more things and go back, I will do it. Because walking is so awful.
Why is it? It's like what we did for 1 billion years.
Yes, mm-hmm. And before then other animals see us walking, and they're like, "Ah, we're equals. We're not equals.
You stupid idiots!" And then they hop on their mopeds, the little squirrel mopeds. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I see, not a Stuart Little.
Oh God,
I love him so much.
I love him. I want to squish him and squeeze him. Oh, I killed him again. Listen, I don't think mopeds have a... I think you are imagining a moped stigma. Do you guys... Let me ask you two. Do you have especially harsh feelings about mopeds?
No.
Jealousy, I guess. Yeah. Because, like, usually if I see one, I'm walking. Because otherwise I'm not going to notice. I'm just going to assume it's like a tiny motorcycle.
If you saw a man going on one of those giant bikes with the one huge wheel and one really small wheel, you would see that and be like, fuck, that dude's cool because he's not walking and I am like a chump.
Yep.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. If I see a guy on a dead horse, I'm going to think the same thing. Man,
he's not moving especially fast.
If I see a guy rolling down a hill in a barrel, I'm like, nice. You know, Jeremy Larson bought a scooter when we were living in Cincinnati together. And I was jealous on it both because it was better than walking and more fuel efficient than driving.
It's a super good way to get around.
Yeah, it's good. If anybody gives you shit, just say, like, uses less gas than your car.
Yeah,
gas, but not... Gas guzzler, fucking asshole.
But that...
Whoa.
That's the thing. When you're riding on this super loud moped, you need to just be yelling shit constantly. Like, sorry, it's so loud.
It's solar powered. It runs on the sun.
Sun power is loud. What can you do?
What can you do about it?
That's not the motor. That's just my farts. I don't know why that would help. I don't know why that would help anything. But you should do it anyway. And let me know how it goes.
Just don't walk. Please think about this.
Think of the children.
Think of the children. You have to walk.
Dear brothers, I am 6 months pregnant.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So many people in my life, whether they have kids or not, keep giving me advice and I hate it. How can I politely... or not so politely, tell them I don't want their opinion. That's from Preggers on the Pacific Coast.
You just gently rub your stomach and say, I'm ignoring you for two.
I should just ask my wife. I don't know. She should be the one. This should be my brother and Sydney and me.
Yeah, I'm sure she's getting like, you gotta rub oatmeal on your tummy and your underarms. Like,
Can we just get her real quick and then she could just feel this one for me? She can pinch hit?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
Hi, how are you guys?
Oh, hi, so Zed.
How are you? How's the baby?
So far, so good. I can feel her kicking a lot more now.
That's weird. Is it rude if I ask if you're showing? I forget where you are.
Oh no, I am. I'm over 5 months now. So
yeah.
Have people started showing. Awkwardly touching your stomach without permission?
All the time.
Awesome.
It's terrible.
Totally great.
So this person's saying they're 6 months pregnant, so a bit more pregnant than you.
Not that it's a competition.
Not that it's a competition, but this person's winning. Maybe pick up the pace.
Okay, I'll try to rush her along.
They keep getting advice. Well, we don't know if it's a he or she. They keep getting advice, and they... That was a joke. And they hate getting the advice from people, and they want to know how they can politely turn it down. How much of this shit do you have to eat every day?
A lot, which is surprising because you'd think that, like, it'd be limited somewhat by the fact that I'm a doctor.
Right, that's a thing. Babies. Right, like, you are at a place, I think, where babies happen a lot all the time.
Yeah.
There are a lot constantly. Of babies happening. And uh-huh. So, like, I would assume that there's, like, a lot of people, like, let me tell you what I did. But, like, you went to school for, like, 100 years. You know everything about every physiological issue ever. How can somebody have the hubris to be like, let me tell you one thing you didn't know about babies. Don't shake them shits. Like, I super know that.
Well, I think it's one of those things where every woman thinks, and maybe I should say rightfully so, once they've been through it, once they've been through the whole, 40 weeks of pregnancy and then the labor process, that they have earned the right to tell everybody else how to do it. And I think it's well-intentioned. I mean, most of the advice I get is from women who are
nobody having children. Nobody maliciously is like, do it in a toilet.
I think they really think, like, oh, this will really help her out. This will really... I bet she doesn't know that she's going to get nauseous. I'll tell her about it.
Have you ever hit a point with someone, like, giving you advice where you've wanted to say, like, hey, just shut up. I don't... Get out of my... I don't care.
Yeah, you know what was funny is I have all these books that like about pregnancy updates, like fun stuff for each week and thing. And they, one of them says specifically like how to deal with people giving you advice. And it tells you to just be polite, which is what I try really hard to do, is just say, oh, thanks, and nod and smile and walk away. But it's really hard because a lot of the time I'll just snap back. Yeah, I know. I know.
I basically know everything.
Got it, chief.
Thanks. I catch myself doing this a lot, or I have, and I'm trying to curb it vis-a-vis marriage, because a lot of my friends are getting engaged now here in Austin, and Rachel and I were like one of the first, I would say, couples to get married. And so like I catch myself like saying to people like, you just got to make sure to really like in the moment, just really treasure it, because, and then I like barf in my own mouth and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what that was. I don't know who that was. I'm sorry.
No, we all do it. I think Justin and I probably did it to both of you guys at your weddings. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's human nature. And I try to
take a video with your mind and post it on your soul Facebook. What are you saying to me right now?
Just remember all the people who were here and how happy they were. And
has anyone given you advice that you were like, oh shit, that's tight. Yeah, great. I'm going to do that.
You know, I didn't know about, actually, I don't know if it's sort of advice, kind of a tip. You and Rachel gave me that snoogle.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that existed.
Well, I mean, that's sort of like my whole game now is all about maximizing my sleeping structures.
I'm sorry. I'm going to need someone to clarify for me what a snoogle is.
Is it a snoogle or a snoodle?
Snoogle.
Okay. It's a
And it is what now?
It's like this giant pillow. Like this long worm-like pillow that kind of coils up, and you can just wrap yourself like completely in it when you sleep.
What?
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's basically every sort of human invention and like thing that we have as a species have like figured out has culminated in the snoogle, because it really takes your sleeping game. Can I ask you a question, Cindy? Because you are now far more experienced with the snoogle than I am.
Uh huh.
Is it weird if I get one, even though I am not now, nor will I ever be pregnant? And Rachel will get pregnant at some point, but this is my snoogle, actually, babe. We can get a second one off Amazon, babe, but this one's mine. I've like sort of impressed onto it my body contours already.
You can have matching his and her snoogles.
Oh, no, because I wouldn't want to get it confused and then accidentally sleep using her snoogles and her impressions, because that's a fate worse than death.
I think it's fine, because I fully intend to continue to sleep with this after I am no longer pregnant.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Excellent.
But most of the advice I get is not as helpful as the snoogle.
Well, no, because that's actionable stuff. It's like if every piece of advice I got came with a hammock, I'd be like, tight. Yes, I will take that. I will make my pizzas with a pizza stone. Thank you for the advice in the hammock.
No, a lot of people want to give me advice about what they ate to like keep them from being nauseous. I found that's the most common advice, and I keep telling people like, "Oh, I'm not really nauseous anymore."
Thanks, just to Tina's pizzas is like basically it. Thank you though.
I just want pizzas, and then a lot of people want to tell me about how I'm not going to sleep.
You say you see my snoogle, motherfucker?
This is why it always seems to me like the advice is like a Schadenfreude kind of thing, where it's like, well, you know, you're not going to sleep. You're going to puke a lot. You might poop yourself. It's like, it always is like this. It never sounds helpful to me.
You never know how bad it's going to be. Listen here. You think you know some shit? You don't know shit. It's going to be so much worse.
That's exactly what it is. That's what people just want to tell you how bad things are going to get. And I don't know. I don't know what
that
is.
But at the end, you don't sleep ever again.
Yeah.
After it, you don't sleep ever again.
But they always cap it off with the same thing. Whatever terrible thing they've told you, you're going to never sleep. You're going to get puked all over. It's going to be awful. Then they say, oh, but it's all worth it.
It's all so much worth it.
It's so worth it. It's like, well, yeah, I freaking hope so. Or at this point, even if it's not, I'm kind of in too deep.
I've committed myself.
Yeah, we're just going for it. So I don't know. My best answer is I try to stay calm and I don't listen a lot and I nod and smile.
You should give them advice about how to fix whatever like physical thing they might have wrong with them. Like, it looks like you're
like, hey, how's your diabetes going?
Well, I mean, you don't have to go that personal. You can do like, oh, great. Here's some advice about how to like make your bangs work for you, because right now they're working against you.
That would work because I don't know anything about that. So mm-hmm. it would be good.
You're fighting your bangs right now. You need to work with them as a team.
You know, if all else fails, this works for me. I just say, ooh, I've got to go pee again, and walk away.
Nice.
You are not going to be able to play that smoke bomb card for much longer. You need to savor it while you can.
There you go.
I try to do that same thing now, and people just look at me like I'm disgusting. I'm going to go pee.
I got to pee later.
Now, see, in pregnancy, you got to revel in that. Oh, I've got to pee again. And everybody always understands it.
Everyone's like, get out of our way. Get out of the way.
And then it's adorable, too. Oh, she's got to pee again.
Oh. Because there's a baby in there. Sydney, thank you for sharing some light on this. Do you want to take us to the money zone?
Sure. I'll drive us there.
Justin usually says like a thing like,
if you need to support a baby.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Like he usually does like a fun thing like that.
Or something about us needing money.
So, here's some great pregnancy advice for everybody. If you're gonna raise a child, you know what you need for that?
What?
Lots of money.
There you see, that was nice. Great.
Was that good?
Yep.
You did so good.
Got a message to Alita from Will. It's rhyming couplets, I guess.
Just read it. You get really, really uncomfortable with having to, like, be a vessel for other people's romance.
Yeah, so this Travis, you're a perfect.
Nope.
I was going to make it really erotic.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's because he can't not.
You filled me with love and joy.
Oh, boy. It's dripping with eroticism. No. Let Justin do it. You're ruining it.
You filled me with love and joy since before I got on one knee. But marriage to you is greater still. It's how we were meant to be. I know not what next year will bring, the sights that we will see. But I don't care where you go as long as it's with me. Happy first real life married anniversary.
I don't know if they meant for that last part to rhyme.
I don't know. You definitely made it work. I just did my best with it. I'm sorry, Alita. No, Will. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, Willita. That's both of you. That's your celeb name.
See, that's the best gift we can give them.
Yeah, you got a celeb name now. Not a big deal. Griffin, Travis.
Yes.
We got any other important messages?
Yeah, this one is for Jody. And it's from... Bayon or Bayon?
Bayon.
Say all of them and they can just...
Yeah, that's just sort of the Justin McElroy scattershot method.
For Jody from Bayon, 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 Bayon.
Bayon. Bayon. Wait, Wayman. Wait.
Vega.
This is from Vega from Street Fighter.
Hey, Bubby, what's up? Hope you're having a sweet day, but why don't you go ahead and open up that glove compartment and see what's inside?
Oh, Jesus.
What's that you say?
Travis, what is it? I can't take it.
A gun?
Is it a gun? Oh, my God.
A ring?
Dun, dun, dun.
Will you marry me?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, Bayon.
It was a gun. Get down.
Oh, no. Get out of the car. Get out of it. Just kidding. Say yes, God.
Say yes to the gun. That is beautiful. I'm so happy. I hope
congratulations. That's no, I know there's you guys. Right now there's. Oh, listen, we should like just give him a minute because right now there's like that afterglow where it's like I can't believe that
this is happening.
It's happening.
I can't believe
you.
Travis asked me to marry him.
I can't believe you did it like this. This is so romantic.
What were you thinking, Bayon, you asshole?
Why would I want to mention something. My favorite thing about this proposal, we'll give them their moment, yeah, and the rest of us will talk over here.
Bayon, just like turn the volume down for like a minute, because we're going to say dumb shit, and we're just going to like step all over your magic
moment. Yeah, so have your magic moment, pause it, and then come back. My favorite thing about this message is that it literally says dramatic pause on here. But there is no dramatic pause. The dramatic pause is between a ring, ? And will you marry me? So not a dramatic pause as the contents of the glove compartment are revealed, but a dramatic pause as the reality.
You get
what
the ring.
What could this ring mean?
What is this
ring?
We also don't know if we gave Jody enough time to open the glove compartment to see what's in it. She might have had hands full of Taco Bell.
What if she listens to this while she's like sitting in bed? A glove compartment. I don't know what you mean. Oh, wait, what?
What if the money zone starts on this episode and Brian's driving and he just keeps discouraging her from picking things up? Put that down.
Put it down.
Keep your hands free.
You are holding, you are double fisting Crunchwrap Supremes right now. You need to put at least one of them down because I need you to have a free hand.
If not both, because I'm worried about you.
Also, yes, that's too many Crunchwraps.
Speaking of snacking smarter.
Hold on, congratulations, Jody and Brian. We're very, wonderful. Very, very happy. Thank you for sharing your super special moment with us. That's incredibly nice.
We have a mission for you, listeners.
A mission? Yes,
you're going to snack smarter and you're going to get in shape by summer. Your enemy?
The vending machine. Don't go running.
What just happened?
What?
Did Travis just drop off?
No.
No? He was leaving me a dramatic pause.
That's on my sales pitch.
Okay, you guys were just like trading. Sorry.
Well, it was like, that's what it sounds like when people get into a rhythm. I know it's so, so rare on our show that you think that we're having technical difficulties when people are actually communicating.
Is Skype breaking up? No, we're just like working together and like having a conversation like without talking all over each other. It's weird.
Anyway, Nature Box is a company that is going to put great tasting snacks right in your mailbox. They're not just great tasting.
Right in your face.
A NatureBox funnel technician will kick in your door and start jamming it right down there.
They got BBQ kettle kernels. They got everything bagel sticks. Ooh. They got South Pacific plantain chips.
And over 100 more options.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yes.
Have they been expanding their game?
Their game is like elevated every time you go back. They legally have to have new snacks based on what I just said. So salted caramel pretzel pops are my jam. I would also recommend they have some like French toast granola that's like really, really good if you want that. And it's all like real. There's no like high fructose corn syrup or artificial stuff or not like non-GMO. And I know your mouth's watering right now. The good news is that we can get you some on the cheap. You get your first Nature Box right now for 50% off. You go to naturebox.com/mybrother. The deal is they send you a new box every month. You can choose what snacks or you can go hog wild and let them choose. And but I would recommend customizing because, you know, you want the stuff that suits your lifestyle. You know, it's almost summer. It's time to get fit.
And if you order this on April Fool's Day and you let them choose, then you're going to get, like, bugs and shoelaces.
And bug shoes.
And bug shoelaces. Stay full. Stay strong. Go to naturebox.com/mybrother. That's naturebox.com/mybrother.
Also, My Brother, Me is supported by Squarespace, which is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. It's a platform, a lot of people, I think, who listen to the show are familiar with it because they've helped us out with sponsorships before, but they've been improving the platform really frequently since they started advertising with us. There's new features and designs and better support for the platform. They have new, like, sort of tailored, like, pre-made designs that you can start with and a lot of options to change it, and so it'll look tight to begin with, and then you can change, you know, how it is tight for you.
And every space has they have responsive design, which means that no matter what device you're looking at this webpage on, it's going to look awesome. And you know, when I'm going to make a webpage, I don't know when inspiration is going to strike. You know, I don't know when I'm going to want to work on my webpage. Maybe I want it to do in the afternoon or 3 a.m. or whatever. I got to follow the muse.
Sure.
The good news is that they're available. They got a support team available 24/7. So whenever the web muse strikes me, I can just go get some help.
Or just you get super drunk on white wine, and then you need someone to talk to. Give them a call 24/7. They're there. How do I website? Like shh, go to bed.
And they'll talk you down from a bad LSD trip.
You need to drink 3 waters. Go drink 3 waters. Get in bed.
Somebody get this man some orange juice and graham cracker and stay calm.
You need
take this man to the chill out tent.
You need to get him to the chill out tent. He needs to drink 3 waters and he needs to urinate. You need to urinate, sir, and flush these toxins.
I want to make a website.
You can't.
I want to make a website. There's a gorilla in my chair.
How do I get the gorilla out so I can sit down on my desk and do my typing?
It's time to just...
He's stealing my .com. The gorilla is stealing my .com.
A gorilla is
my information.
My gorilla put the modem in his mouth and he's drinking all the internet in the world.
The gorilla's stealing
my
identity.
He's only growing stronger.
He's Gorilla Grodd. He's a genius. We're all doomed. So go to squareface.com and use the offer code my brother. That's all one word. My brother. Get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace. Choose a different name for your hosting service. Squarespace.
A better web starts with your website.
I'm Dave Holmes. I'm the new host of International Waters, the transatlantic comedy show where land laws do not apply. I am here with one of our writers, Sarah Morgan from the UK. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
I didn't understand a word you just said. Could you explain International Waters and how it works?
It's a transatlantic panel game. We have teams based in the UK and in LA, and basically people try to be funnier more than they try to know things.
I caught about half of that. Find International Waters on MaximumFun.org. Thank you for your attention. I will see you on International Waters.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Please.
This one was sent in by Charles Decker. Thanks, Charles. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Wait for it to load on Yahoo's new shitty website. This is asked by Yahoo Answers user Travelman, who asks, how do Popeye's employees know you've eaten there before?
Oh.
The first time
you don't even have to say anything else. I get it.
The first time I went there, they just said, welcome to Popeye's. But now they always say, welcome back to Popeye's. How do they know I've eaten there before?
Hmm. Statistically speaking,
everyone's eaten.
Everyone's eaten at Popeye's.
I have to tell you guys, I've never eaten
I've
at
never
Popeyes.
Eaten at a fucking Popeye's.
Griffin, there's you have, none. In fact. You fucking liar.
When did I eat at a Popeye's?
Whoa, when there was a Popeye's. There was a Popeye's, like, right across the main road from our apartment when we lived in Batavia.
And you just assumed that I fucking hoved over there?
No, we ate there together. Sad chicken. I brought you back some Popeye's. We ate it together like brothers.
It was a special goddamn moment in our relationship.
It was a moment.
How could you fucking forget that?
I can't believe you don't remember it.
Right, but
we finally became brothers.
If I cross the threshold of the Popeyes, are they going to be like, hey, I know you've never been here before, but you've consumed our product, so welcome here, welcome back for the first time, if you know what I mean. Griffin McElroy, Social Security number 138-311-412.
I'm sensing a real opportunity to open one of these in Huntington.
Just because, like, there isn't one and everyone needs it to stay alive?
Yeah, apparently everyone's been there except all of us, so maybe if I open one...
You open a Popeyes and right next door, Jack in the Box, and you will be a very rich man.
Did you guys hear the news? By the way, we got a Chipotle now.
I know so we talked about this in back. The last. We talked.
We talked about it.
You can come back. Yeah, but I it think, open. But it open.
You think? Up hold there. Up. You think that's why Travis and I bounced? We were like, no big fat burritos.
I can't get any Chipotle here.
I just figured that's why you left. It. I knew it wasn't me, so I figured it was Chipotle.
It wasn't you. It was guacamole.
It's the guacamoles.
I haven't been to Popeye's, but I guess they're... Okay, I have an answer. I think that they say welcome back to Popeye's, because if they said welcome to Popeye's, what that puts on the employees is this expectation that you're going to have to explain all the nuance to ordering at Popeye's. You have to give them the full sales pitch. None of them want to do that. So to circumvent having to walk you through the experience of choosing your breading and biscuit combos, they say, welcome back to Popeye's, and just assume that you know the drill.
Sure. It's like when you run into somebody at a party, and you can't remember if you've met them before, and so you just go, hey, man, like that.
Exactly. Yep. That's exactly. Yes, that's exactly.
And then, of course, you haven't met them before, and you look like a fucking crazy person.
But if you commit to it, they look like they have amnesia.
Right.
Right.
Does Popeye's embed all of us with secret ID chips and tracks?
Oh,
all
yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know it was a pretty obvious question. I just wanted to, like...
You think that's what the spice is made out of? Secret ID chips?
Is there spice on that food?
Not if you don't get it spicy.
Okay.
But they strongly recommend you get it spicy. Yeah. Otherwise, they can't track you.
That's how I stayed off the grid this long.
Listen,
the regular
sugar.
Breading.
How are we gonna be able to keep tabs on you, sweet baby?
Who is this employee?
That's the lady who's in their commercials. She's like a southern lady who welcomes you back with open arms.
Come on and eat all my nano machines.
Don't you want to get super strong, sugar?
I'll
activate the deadliest protocol. That's my guarantee to you, Shug. Just go ahead and suck them down.
Suck down these marrow bones. You'll get to jump super high and we'll know everything that you buy and eat.
No problem. They can talk to your credit card. That's convenient, Sugar.
Oh, boy.
Is it okay to play music from my phone to cover up any possible sounds made while using a bathroom at work or in public? And this person has...
Holy shit, the bravery.
This person has neglected to come up with a clever nom de plume.
Should we... It was clearly an accident that he didn't do this. Can we come up with one for him, please?
Sure. All right, let's... What do we know about him? We know his name is Kirk, and he lives in Maryland.
And he uses the bathroom, and he's apparently real, real noisy in there.
Okay, so I don't know.
Whatever he's doing in there, he's making a significant amount of decibels doing it.
That's from
decibel deucing in Maryland.
That's from decibel deucing in Maryland. So I think that's too obvious. The best thing you can do is wait for flush windows, which I think we've all done, right?
Your problem isn't that this is, your problem is that it's obvious that if you go to the bathroom and the person that's stall next to you is fucking rocking out to Splish Splash, I Was Taking a Bath. Then you think like, oh, that person's playing music because they're pooping. You don't think, why is there music in the bathroom right now?
I mean, because that, okay, not to get a little blue, but the pooping sounds belong in the bathroom. No one is upset by hearing those.
So they make cringe.
They make cringe slightly.
Every time. I'm not kidding. I'm a grown-ass man. I just bought a house. I own land. If I hear someone make loud poop sounds in the bathroom in the stall next to me, I have to suppress a laugh every time. 100% of the time. I get... Okay. This might sound outlandish to a lot of people listening right now. When I was in Japan, all of their fucking super toilets that beat the shit out of our toilets, our dumb caveman toilets, have incredible buttons on them, like one that will blow a sweet scent into your butt, and one that will shoot water into your butt. A lot of things involving putting things in your butt to make it a better butt. What it also has is a noise button that you can play, and it will make the sound very, very loud. Shockingly, surprisingly loud of just running water. This is good for two reasons. One, it helps sort of get things going. Two, it disguises your shame with the sound that's already pretty natural in the bathroom, but better than the alternative of the sound that your butt is definitely already making. Yeah, no response to that. That's because you both realize that all three of us live in the wrong fucking country.
Yeah.
You know, what I found when I was in Scotland is that they've developed technology in which when the stall doors close, they overlap so that you cannot peek through them.
I really appreciate that. There are, if you're going to play music, there are a couple things that are important to do. The first one is you have to also say out loud, where is that music coming from? Are they piping that in so you can cover up that it's coming from you? Second, play something that's going to blend in really nicely, like perhaps the music of 311 that is largely indistinguishable from the sound of someone making a bout.
Oh, boy.
Is audiobooks better?
You know what? No, because then you might think someone's talking to you.
What about live streaming like NPR?
Do you think there's somebody who uses our podcast to poop too secretly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just statistically, yes. Maybe could you play loud, like whimsical pooping sounds to cover your real ass pooping sounds? Wait,
just like go Elton John on the fart piano.
Yeah.
Seems to me.
But then, because then whoever is listening will be like, ah, some jokester.
Some jokester in here is trying to make a joke. And then you do that enough, and then you become the office jokester. It's like, ah, that's Kirk doing. Oh, shit, I said his name. No, I'm sorry, Kirk.
Now everyone will know that Kirk poops.
You become known as the
lid off this whole Kirk pooping conspiracy.
If you're in Maryland and you meet a Kirk, just know this.
Just know
he has made a bowel movement.
He has made at least one whoopsie daisy. if you become Kirk the Office jokester on the fart piano, and everybody knows when they hear that, then like, oh, it's just Kirk acting a fool, and then you can start phasing the application out. Then you can start phasing the app out of the rotation.
Yeah, just then when you make a bow of it, all you have to do is shout, get it?
Oh, that's over him. Oh, I love that. He's using the fart sax button. That is a fart sax solo. That's my very, very favorite button on his fart piano app. No, it's not. He doesn't.
All right. Listen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us this week. We hope you had a lot of fun. One last thank you to everybody who gave in the Max Fun Drive. We crushed previous records. We had over 2,500 new donors and upgrading donors. That's amazing.
That's fucking bananas, guys. Like, thank you so much. I thought, like, maybe this was going to be the year when everybody was finally like, we're giving money to this? But instead, they were like, we need to give money to this.
It's unbelievable. So thank you, guys. You're the absolute best. Make sure you listen to some other programs on the Maximum Fun Network. We've got a lot now. Got a lot of different offerings for you. There's the Goose Down is very funny. Lady to Lady is very funny. Oh No, Ross and Carrie is another great one. Bullseye.
If you liked when Sydney stepped in and helped us out with a question and you haven't listened to Sawbones yet, first of all, what's the matter with you? Second of all, go listen to Sawbones. Justin and Sydney host it, and it's awesome.
So thanks to people tweeting about the show. Rhodes Clark got his donation in under the wire, so thank you so much. Thank you to Tim Brick and A. Foster and Paperback Princess, Emile Delaire. I'll just take a shot there. Alyssa Jefferson, Nick, John Rom, Ashley, Honey Boy, the Tauntauns, so many others. Thank you so much for tweeting about our program. The Tauntauns are a band, by the way.
I know. I feel so bad. They invited me to come hang out at one of their shows here in Austin, and I was too busy getting horribly, horribly sunburnt in a different city, or else it would have been there.
Thanks again to Nature Box. You can order all the snacks you want, and you can get in shape for summer with healthy treats like the barbecue kettle kernels. And you get 50% off your first order because you listen to us and we think you're awesome. So go to naturebox.com/mybrother, get 50% off your first order. Trust me, check it out. They've got awesome shit there, and we're all big fans.
And a big thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. I mean, we've been singing the praises of that album for a long time, but it really is very good. Do wish there was a new album to talk about and promote.
But I would like that very much.
I would like that very, very much if that could happen.
But you know what? The wind is going to blow where it's going to blow, and you can't change it.
We can't control the wind.
Can't control the wind. And what is John Roderick but the wind?
He is the wind of people. Anyway, thank you, John and company.
We are going to be performing a live show on May 24th at the People's Improv Theater in beautiful New York City. As you may have seen, tickets for that are sold out. But we are going to be releasing more tickets Wednesday at noon. So just go to the pit-nyc.com. And you will be able to get those tickets Wednesday around noon-ish. So, like, keep an eye out. We aren't the ones pulling the trigger, so we can't guarantee at noon, but that's the plan. Wednesday at noon, more tickets.
I think you're going to do it for us. Griffin, do you have, a question that you could maybe read for us from Yahoo, and then we could kind of think about it
The
intervening week, and we'll answer it next week?
Oh, absolutely. This final Yahoo is sent in by Brian Couch. Thank you, Brian. It's by Yahoo Answers user Calamity, who asks, how do I keep my son from naming my grandson YOLO?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, my name is Hrishikesh Hirway, and I have a podcast called Song Exploder. In each episode, a musician takes apart one of their songs and piece by piece tells you the story of how it was made. You get an inside look into the creative and technical process and a unique view of a song by hearing just the drums, or just the guitars, or say just a Wurlitzer piano. If you're a fan of music, if you make music, or if you just like to learn how things are made, come check it out on MaximumFun.org. Thanks.